So I came over for a meeting yesterday, and it was awfully hot out yesterday. And then you made a comment of, I would rather take this meeting outside. How is that possible?
I like the sun and the warmth, and I don't love air conditioning. I mean, I appreciate it, and I'm grateful that we have it, because I'm sure that if I had no opportunity for air, I would be unhappy. But I really, really enjoy the sun and being outside.
The heat.
And the heat.
But like, there's got to be a breaking point of like, no, I'm done being out here.
I'm sure there is. I'm sure. I don't know that I have to get that point, but I could sit outside
nonstop
in the sun all day. I mean, but I also don't like have to, you know, there's not a whole lot of physical exertion either.
Right.
So I think that would be a little bit different. Like, I have no, like, I know that I'm not doing anything that like requires a whole lot of energy.
Okay. So sitting or just being still out in the heat.
Yeah. Like on the beach.
Okay. Well, you lost me there already, but all right. I would much rather have like a nice 75 degree day, shorts and a long sleeve, just like hanging out. No, you want 100 degrees sitting outside.
Pretty much.
Okay. Is this your whole life you've been like this?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'd much rather be hot than cold.
Fair enough. All right. Ready to start this episode?
Yep.
All right. 3, 2. All right. Welcome back to Beyond the Bell. My name is Ryan Pina. I'm the principal over at Olson Middle School.
And I'm Stacey Arts, the principal of Tabernacle Elementary School and supervisor of special services in preschool.
And if you don't know what we do here at Beyond the Bell, we try to take a little deeper look into things that are going on here in Tabernacle, some positive things. We also try to interview a staff member each episode to get you to see a little bit more about that person, what they do here in Tabernacle, and try to create a little bit more of a community. We do have a great interview this week or this episode. I don't want to spoil anything, but we will be having some fun. We have some games this episode, and I will be posting what sounds like or looks like a pretty embarrassing picture of myself. I'm not sure if you want to give any prelude to that for the audience, or if you want to just leave it at that.
No, I think it's fun. I mean, I think it was a fun game. And I think that we all enjoyed the interview and the had fun playing the game, or from my perspective, watching the game being played, which was also entertaining. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really cool to give everybody a glimpse of that.
Yeah.
I think it takes you a little bit out of your comfort zone, which is like definitely.
It's really good of the podcast. All right. So the first thing we'll do is we're going to review some summer dates that we have. This is a summer episode. So some summer things that we have coming up for the next 2 months.
We have a bunch of summer programs running. We have extended school year, which will run Monday through Thursday, starting July 7th through July 31st. And then we have a summer reading program that will also start July 7th. And then finally, we have camps that were offered and run. So we have 4 separate camps that will be run at different periods throughout the month of July. If your student is involved in any of them, you would have already received information about them. But we're excited to continue our learning throughout the summer in a variety of ways, both to support students who may need additional assistance, to try to maintain some of those skills, not making it as difficult to recoup them when they come back in September. And then also some enrichment for some of our students who are coming in to learn something new or to do something like out of the box, like our classic camp experience that's going to happen at OMS, which seems really cool. Collaboratory engineering, lots of fun. And then continuing some band lessons with Miss Chekai, which I think was a neat opportunity that people took advantage of.
That's awesome. Yeah. So a lot of things offered this summer. Can you give us a couple more details on the ESY program? I know this is something that I enjoy being a part of when I can. And what I really liked last year, as I believe you guys started doing some like weekly themes that really kind of brought in, you know, some of the students into more of a collective experience. So can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. So we have three ESY classes, two at the elementary school and one at the middle school. In the last few years, we've done themed weeks. So Olympics, nature, games, sports. And then at the end of every week, there's like a culminating activity where if we're able to, depending on, you know, the students who are involved, the weather, any number of things, we try to get, you know, as many of the students together to do that, which might involve cooking or craft. And mm-hmm. then at the end of ESY, we do like an ESY celebration where we invite our families in and we all kind of celebrate what they did over the last few weeks.
Yeah. And then I think the only other thing we have is the board meetings, right? This mm-hmm. summer. What were those dates?
Yep. So we have two Board of Ed meetings. Our July meeting is July 10th. It is at an new time, so July 10th at 2:15. That meeting will be for the oath of office of our new Board of Ed member. So again, July meeting, July 10th at 2:15, oath of office for our new board member. And then we have our regular scheduled August meeting on August 18th at 6:30.
And then one last thing that we are doing this summer, which is new for the district, we are actually doing a book club. So we sent some of this information out over Parent Square. So if you haven't seen it, make sure you check on Parent Square. And I will actually link some of the information into this podcast episode as well. We are going to be reading a book called Thrivers. It is written by Michelle Borba. And what it does is it really tries to talk to us about what students are going through now in this fast-paced, digital-driven, uncertain world, so to speak, as it's written through the book. What the book tries to do is focus on character traits and how some of those character traits like confidence, empathy, self-control, integrity, curiosity, perseverance, and optimism really can drive the students, whether they are in kindergarten all the way through high school, to be thrivers in this world and what that kind of means. So we're going to explore some of those themes and ideas and hopefully try to reach out to the community to kind of have those engaging conversations, not only with us as administrators, but also staff that will hopefully be part of the book club as well. So I know I'm looking forward to that. It's something new. So I am looking forward to exploring and, you know, being part of that new thing for the summer. So those are the summer events. Hopefully we'll see some of you within those summer events. We'll get to our interview now. Do you want to introduce our guest and give us a little introduction to what the interview is about?
Sure. So we interviewed Mrs. Ragatz, who is the Tabernacle Elementary School speech and language pathologist. She primarily works with students from preschool to third grade. And we had a great interview, lots of energy, lots of good conversation back and forth. And I think we were provided an opportunity to really get a better understanding of what Mrs. Ragatz does as a speech and language pathologist. And I think, you know, we talk a lot about how everybody kind of has a different role. There are different people who are experts in their area. Sometimes we talk about it like our nurses, right? We have two nurses in the district. Mm-hmm. They are the experts in our area, and our speech and language pathologists, they both, we have two of those also, and they both are the experts in their area. And I think that there's a lot of uncertainty or lack of understanding maybe of what they do day in and day out. And I think Mr. Gass does a really good job at explaining what her day looks like. And then kind of talks about, too, like how she weaves that throughout her life and her world, because it is such a huge part of mm-hmm. who she is.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully you'll enjoy the interview as much as we did. Here we go.
Our guest today is Mrs. Vergatz, the Tabernacle Elementary School speech and language pathologist. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
No problem.
I think we're going to have some fun today. We're going to do a couple different things that we haven't done before, but should be new and exciting, I hope. We first want to talk to you about how you got to kind of where you are, like what led you to the profession and like what excites you about it? What is something that you enjoy about it?
So my dad works in a school and I used to do their ESY program. I volunteer every summer and then I started working with a speech pathologist. And I was like, this is good. I like this better than teaching just because I like the difference. Like the day changes, the kids are different every day. And then went to school, 5-year master's program, and I was done.
But what intrigued you about it? Like what, like, cause if I were to say, so I was like a phys ed teacher, right? So like I enjoyed sports. I enjoyed that type of connection with the students. Like what is that with your profession?
I always thought I'd be a teacher. And then when I was there in the summer and I would go on like take your kid to work day with my dad and go with the speech therapist, I was like, I just can't imagine being with like a classroom every day doing that. And then when I would go with speech, she would show me like, these are the things we do. You get to do like a little more deep dive into the kids. You had the same kids every year. And you kind of got to watch them grow more. And then once they started talking about like how it helped them talk and like what was going on, it just seemed like a little more fast paced for me. And okay. I like the challenge of what are we going to find today? Like what's going to happen? And then I like the testing part of it a lot. So that kind of added like a new piece into it.
Okay.
So, and if I ever freaked out and didn't want to work in a school, I had, you know, medical speech to fall back on. So okay. I was ready for it either way.
So was it always, like at the elementary level or was it anything that you would have, you know, been able to do?
Yeah, no, I mean, you could do pretty much anything with it, but mm-hmm. I did an internship in the hospital and it was not for me.
Okay.
So it was definitely going to be with elementary school. You know, this is like my prime ages.
Okay. So. All right. And then, so when you were doing, can you give me like anything with the hospital internship that was like, kind of just like, not for me or not something that you felt?
I mean, the number one thing is that like you could kill them. Because if they're not swallowing appropriately and then you say can swallow, they can aspirate and then, you know, they could die. So like that wasn't for me.
Like the seriousness.
Yeah. Also like I'm like goofy and working in a hospital, like not a lot of people had time for like the goofy side. So I was better off with kids.
Right.
I also like to talk to the patients for a long time in the hospital. Like you're on like a strict get through it. So it was better that I
stayed that
in an elementary school setting.
Knowing for you for a short amount of time, I would say that was probably, you know, something. So a good choice because
yes.
It seems very serious and
yeah.
Very, you know, like you said, life or death, unfortunately.
Yeah, it wasn't for me.
All right. So we said that we were going to do a couple of new things. So what we are going to do is two activities, games. The first one that we're going to do is, we'll have you expand maybe on some of your answers. It's kind of like a blind ranking. I'm not sure if you've seen this or heard of this on some other podcast, but we're going to do the perfect day. So I'm going to give you 5 perfect day scenarios or perfect activities within a day. And then you'll blindly rank them 1 through 5. 1 being the best day, 5 being of those 5, the worst day.
Okay.
All right. You ready? All right. First one is snow day.
I would say like a 3 because I have to make up the kids when we have a snow day. So it just like adds an extra day of time.
Okay.
Into it. So I do love to stay home, but it just, I have to crank it in later.
All right. So you're starting in the middle there.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So your second one is a canceled staff meeting.
That's like a 5. It's not that big a deal.
No.
No, it's it's only a little bit of time. It's not like it's, you know, my whole day.
I'm just thinking like you're anticipating it and then get that.
I don't want to give up number 1.
Or.
What if number 1 is the best? I like, you know, staff meeting doesn't really impact it that much.
All right. So my next one is a day that you don't have to repeat anything. So like you're giving an instruction to a student or whatever, and you don't have to repeat yourself. They get it the first time and you don't have to go further than that.
That sounds impossible.
Well,
but I would say that's a 2 because that would be shocking.
Okay.
And so you have right now, right? You have 1 and or
okay
left.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
1 and 4 left.
Okay.
And The next one is lunch is provided.
It's hard.
Like I'm thinking like an HSA lunch or a random.
Yeah. I would say maybe I have 1 of 4. Mm-hmm. I don't know. My husband packs me lunch every day, which is very nice of him, but it's always the same thing every day. Okay. And I love it. Never complaining. If he listens to it, I'm very, very excited, but it would be nice to like sometimes switch it up a little bit. So I'm going to go 1.
Okay.
With that, just in case, because I'm nervous about what 4 is going to be.
All right.
Last one, an assembly day.
Oh, yeah. That's like a 4.
That's a 4.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have to go to an assembly necessarily sometimes. And honestly, assemblies are so loud. It's a very good speech environment. So I got to check my ears. They're very important in my job. So try to stay away from those if I can.
All right. So you had one is lunch provided day. 2 is no repeat day. 3 is the snow day. 4 is the assembly day. And 5 as the canceled staff meeting. Would you switch that up? Anything for you, Ms. Arts, as like something that you would reorder or anything stand out to you?
I don't know. I think it actually is pretty like, I think it actually was like
2 and 1. Maybe I would have switched because, you know, it would be nice not to repeat myself, but part of my job is I see a different group every like 30 minutes. So yeah. I do tend to repeat myself because I'm doing the same activity, just changing around a little bit. So like, it would be really hard to do my job and not repeat myself. So, you know, with that being said.
Okay. All right. I like the blind ranking. All right. I think that list is pretty solid for our not knowing what was coming next.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
All right. So we'll move on to your activity. We're actually going to let you take over here and we will be helping you out. So explain what you want us to do in this activity.
So this game has a couple of different names, but this one's the speak out one. And it has that device you put in your mouth so that you can't move your lips. And then Mr. Pina is going to read. Yeah. One of the things on the card, and I'm going to have to try and guess it because it's kind of what I do sometimes in my job is having to figure out what kids are saying because it's hard to understand. Okay. So let's see if I'm good or not.
Now, do you do this? This is just a game. This is not something you do actually with
students.
No,
this is just a game. Okay. But because I know how the sounds work, it's usually pretty easy to guess because P's and B's and M's are all words, like sounds that use your lips. And like these cards are heavy on those. So like it's easy for me to be like, this is probably what they're trying to say.
Okay. And then just before. Okay. So I wish there was a camera here because this is going to look.
I'll take a picture when you post this episode. You can share the picture of you so that people know what we were talking about.
I really appreciate that. I think that's a really good idea. All right. And then. All right. So here we go. Let's see if I can do this right. That's not nice. Don't lie. All right. Here we go. Give me that thing. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Arrow held with honey ducks.
Can you say it again?
I have to?
Yes.
Arrow held with fluffy ducks.
Something with fluffy ducks. Arrow. Oh, let me see. Fluffy ducks is all I can 100%.
Fluffy ducks fluffy is ducks. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Something's filled with fluffy ducks. What's the first word?
It is. Yeah. Do you want me to give you like a hint or like?
You can just tell me. It's okay. I was pretty close.
You're very close. So you had filled with fluffy ducks. The first word is barrel.
Oh, that's like a strange word that we don't hear all the time.
That's a tough one.
I feel like. I think you should do one more.
One more?
I think so. Okay. All right.
Just because it's entertaining to you?
It is. Okay. You could wear one too. We have extra ones.
Good. Thank you. I think this was a perfect Mr. Peanut game.
Okay. I feel like it's only fair to like add a little crazy into it for you because, you know, this is out of my comfort zone. So I feel like it's fair. Wow. You know?
All right. Here we go. Okay. I got it. All right. Huggies often. Say bow wow.
Puppies often say bow wow.
Yeah.
That was a better one. That was much easier. Gotta get in the zone.
So what was the difference? Like what was difficult about the first one a little bit more with that first word and the second one?
The first one definitely had more, like a barrel isn't a word that you say. Puppy was easy because like there's 2 P's in there. So like they sound exactly the same, but like there was a lot of chances to hear. And then that one word, I think puppy, the say sounded just like say. So it was like easy. And like, I know what dogs say. So
okay. So you got like
you know, I wouldn't say woof woof because it was obviously a buh. Mm-hmm. So like,
and then like how, obviously this is extreme, but like how close is that to some of the things that you deal with on a regular basis?
I would say like the beginning part is pretty easy. So like we do a test and it's a picture and I know exactly what they're saying because they're doing that. But like once I figure out like if there's a phonological process and they're replacing, you know, T's for K's, then like anytime there's a K, chances are it's going to be a T. So I try to tell the teachers like, this is what they're doing and this is how they're saying it. So like if it's hard to understand, try this. Sometimes, you know, kids have a lot of errors and then you're kind of playing like a guessing game and seeing which one you can get rid of first. So, you know, but it's pretty, pretty similar once you know it.
I mean, that was for guessing that straight up. That was definitely pretty good. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
Listening there, I guess.
Do you have any advice or suggestions about what parents can do if there are concerns that their students might have errors or like generalized?
Yeah. So the teachers are pretty good about, you know, reaching out to them first, and then they either have been doing it for a long time, so they kind of know what errors are age appropriate. Like if you have a kid in kindergarten that's doing R, it's age appropriate. It's okay. But, you know, if your kid's in third grade and there's R, then that's when we need to step in. But the teachers have like charts on that and they know. So usually at conference time is when I get the biggest like influx of questions, because at conference, like, well, I think maybe you're like the doctor said this, and, you know, doctors are great, but like, it's not their job to work in the school. So they usually bring it up and then, you know, we kind of tease it out here. But a lot of it is like, you know, there has to be an educational impact, you know, it can't just be that they're having a hard time with it. It has to be impacting spelling or reading or being understood in the classroom. And then, you know, the teachers have a good idea on that. And then we have a little process that they do to decide, you know, if we need to step in for speech services. So that's your first bet, is the teachers are the best.
All right. And then to you. All right. So we will end. Well, first of all, I really do appreciate playing those two games. I think it was different. I will definitely be interested to see what those pictures look like when you send it to me.
We'll see if you actually post them. Yeah.
I will post them. Absolutely. So we'll end with our open door. And our open door is, where do you get the best French fries?
So I have a complaint on this one that I was thinking about, and I think that you should bring a sample of the French fries for people, because we're never going to try the French fries that you say. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been to McDonald's.
Oh, like that, that I said.
Yeah, like, what if they are the best French fries, but I'll never know?
Well, I mean,
because McDonald's is obviously the best.
I'm going to go Five Guys. You know, that's my best French fry.
Okay.
But I want to dip them in the fry sauce from Freddy's.
Right. So you want to, from where?
From Freddy's.
I don't know what that is. What is
they
that?
Have good French fries. It's like a burger place, but they're like shoestring fries. Okay. And they're like good, but like Five Guys are better, but I like the fry sauce from Freddy's. So I want to do a little combo.
Right. Which is, I think, like a standard, because like I think some, especially I would say like in the fast food realm, right? Like some people want to go get the burger from there and the McDonald's French fries. Okay.
I'm not like a huge French fry lover, but like if they're there, I'll have them, but I'm never like seeking out French fries.
Okay.
But I also don't like ketchup, so I feel like I like to have it with
with something else from Freddy's.
Yeah. You can buy it there, like itself. Like when you go to Freddy's, like, you can buy a container of it.
All right. So. There you go. All right. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate your time, and you will get the picture with the post. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that interview as much as we did. What was your favorite part of that interview?
My favorite part.
I mean,
part
minus like laughing at me.
It really was I think the most enjoyable interview we've had. I mean, it was definitely the most relaxed. And I think, you know, Mr. Gotz is like a lot like high energy. And a lot of times there's like a lot of, you know, going into the interview, I was kind of like, I tend to be pretty like high energy, and then she is too, and I'm like, this could be like pretty difficult, but I think that by putting the game in there, we were like, it relaxed it a little bit. I think we had a good time. But I think my favorite part really is just giving the opportunity for everybody to hear a little bit about something that I think that a whole lot, you know, people don't know about. And I think it was giving a glimpse into how important speech and language therapy is in the schools, and you know, why we need it, and a little bit about how it's done.
Yeah, I think what part I learned about the most was kind of like her travel to becoming a speech pathologist, and like how she worked in hospitals, right? And I think everybody has their own journey to get where they are. And I think sometimes we forget, you know, what those special areas do to kind of get to where they are. So, you know, for her working in the hospital and having some of those, as she kind of shot the interview of life or death circumstances, it was cool to kind of see her mindset of like, I need to get to something where I feel comfortable. So I enjoyed learning about that. And then we had her talk about her favorite fries. And she brought up the dipping sauces for the fries, where me and you will disagree on this. And I say it's more about the fries and not the sauce. And you will go,
I think it's the whole experience.
Right. I think that takes away from your fry, though, the fry discussion. If the fry needs something, then it might not be your favorite fry.
No, because I think a fry dipped in the sauce is how you like to eat it. Like, just because I want to put my steak in ketchup doesn't make it not steak.
Well, some people might strongly disagree with that one, but. All right. Well, we'll agree to disagree. That being said, we hope you enjoyed this episode. We will hopefully see you for our next, and hopefully see you for some of our summer programs that we have running this summer. All right. See you next time.